And that means it's time for the Garden Conversation. The Garden Conversation, which is underwritten by Jewel Gardens in Skagway in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and education.
Good morning, Joni.
We have Mardell and Kate here today.
And are your fingernails dirty, Joni? Have you been gardening?
My fingernails are, they've been dirty for 24 years. So my daughter, Katie, I sent her up here from Chicago like 25 years ago. And I said, find us a place to live. And she did. But she said, Mom, your fingernails will never be clean again.
So before we talk about our topic today, I just want to remind people that registration is open for that fermenting workshop. And I want to let you know, in case you haven't read your Eventbrite site closely or the posters that are up, this is going to be a hands-on workshop. So everybody's going to need to bring their own cutting board, their own knife, and their own bowl.
And, oh, good. And what about, and a jar?
Your own jar. Yeah. And we will provide the veggies. If you want to bring other veggies to put in your own personal sauerkraut, you certainly can. But we're going to provide the cabbage and the carrots and the salt. We're not going to find a cutting board and a knife for everybody. And so if you don't bring your own, it means that you're not going to have one. So every week I'll tell you a little bit more about this workshop that's coming up. But that's something to keep in mind, that if you want to go home with a quart jar of kraut, you need to bring your own equipment for it.
All right. So, that's good to know, because I was not aware of that. Yeah, well, I did sign up.
Good. I'm glad I mentioned it. So, yeah, I see
Way
that you're
go.
Signed up, and we're got registration happening. I would say, get signed up so we know how many people are going to come. I'm hoping we're not going to have to close the registration. I think we're going to have enough room, but we'll see. So the other day I called Kate and we started talking about what we're doing in our gardens right now. And both of us got onto the subject of pests. So we said, well, what should we talk about on the Garden Conversation? And so we are going to talk about pests today. And and I'm hoping that this is not going to be too much about only indoor spaces, meaning greenhouses and domes and whatnot, because it seems that that's where I have most of my problems with pests. Would you agree with that, Kate?
Very definitely. When you close them in, give them a nice warm home, they're happy.
That's where they're happy. And so then that's when they flourish. Whereas outside, where there's lots of natural predators flying around and I just don't have as many problems outside.
No, and you got the cold nights. It kind of limits the
that
things
limits
at this
what,
point.
Yep, that's exactly right. They're not as happy. A pest is going to go inside and live inside if they have an option.
Yes.
So we did what kind of prompted this whole thing was, is that I asked Kate if she had the same thing happening on her tomatillo leaves as mine, and she said, yes, I do. And so we started looking, and I came to a dead end, but Kate, the sleuth detective, figured it out what it is.
Well, it's the strangest thing. If you have tomatillos, look at the leaves, and it looks like the leaves are melting in the middle. It's the strangest looking thing I've ever seen. I could not figure it out. And so I went online and looked, and they talked about all sorts of garden pests, but none of the pictures looked like what I had going on.
Because it looked like insects, but yet it didn't act like egg cases or
little,
anything.
Yeah, there's kind of little
blisters.
Bubbly. Yeah, they're kind of like little blisters, and they could be egg cases, but then I didn't see any really bugs around it, so I hung up some fly strips near them, see what I could catch to see what's flying by, what must be going on, and nothing was really working for me. And so I went online and looked, and finally came up with what it is. It's not a pest. It's not a fungus. It's edemia.
A plant disease. It's like humans get edemia.
Exactly.
So it's swelling.
It's swelling. Mm-hmm. What happens is it means you're overwatering them, and they're sucking up this water. It's coming up their leaves, and because they're like in our greenhouse or domes, and it's humid in there, they can't get rid of this excess moisture. And so it's bubbling up in the leaves until the blisters get so big, they actually burst and leave holes in the leaves.
And it looks like your plant is melting, literally.
Yeah.
It looks like it's melting in front of your eyes. Yeah.
Huh. And just to confirm it, I had my neighbor, John Norton, look at the leaves under a microscope, and there is no sign of any pest. Mm-hmm. There is no sign of any fungus. And so we believe it is this edemia. So if you have this going on, stop watering your tomatillos.
Yeah.
and think
and
about...
And don't panic.
I mean, don't panic.
Both of us like, oh my goodness, we've got bugs flying everywhere.
And think about moving them somewhere else if that's an option. Because obviously, they grow in Mexico. They grow in very arid type
hot.
Of climate.
Mm-hmm.
Hot, dry. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that's not us.
Right.
We're we can do the artificial heat, but obviously we close our things off to keep them warm. And then we have humidity, and they just can't handle that.
Which is exactly why you end up with pests, is that you're creating this artificial environment. And, and aphids are probably, I would say that the three biggest pests that we have to deal with in our area are aphids, root maggots, and slugs. And at least that those are the three big ones for me. Not that there aren't other ones. I have also had to deal with some whitefly, spider mites, fungus gnats, thrifts, flea beetles. They come and go. They're around. But the big one, I think one of the big ones is aphids. And Kate and I have a little bit of different ways of dealing with it. Right now, I'm dealing with it by using a lot of insecticidal soaps, which are generally considered safe. But I just learned a really valuable lesson. In doing the research for this particular show, I found out that I killed my impatience plants by using the insecticidal soap. There's a few plants that are sensitive, and impatience are one of them. Begonias are another one. Don't use insecticidal soap on those as well. So I always felt like I was safe using the soap, but not so. And you said that you don't use it much.
I don't use it. I've killed every plant I've ever tried to use it on. The aphids seem to thrive, and they kill the plant instead. So I've learned to streamline, and depending on how valuable the plant is, if I find aphids, either I just get rid of the plant, or my new one is I get ladybugs. You can get ladybugs through the mail. Actually, you get ladybugs at Fred Meyer if you get them in the springtime. Late April, May, you can buy ladybugs at Fred Meyer in the garden center.
I didn't know that.
I set them loose and just keep the aphids under control with ladybugs.
And you set them loose at, like, every so often? I do.
The nice thing about them is you can keep them in the refrigerator. They go dormant. And so every few days, I will take them out to my greenhouse, open it up, and let some out and... I say some, they start crawling out and you end up with 100 come out, and that's about fine. And then you spritz all your plants with water so you can get a good drink of water, and they'll live in your greenhouse, dome, or even my house. I've had them in my house before too. And you can keep them alive for quite some time, and they will take care of the aphids for you.
And they will reproduce into, prior to doing this research, I always thought that ladybugs were only effective as pest deterrents in the larval stage, but I found out that I was wrong, that the adults will also eat aphids.
They will. They're not quite as voracious.
But that's why
I try to let mine loose over about a two-week period of time, and that way any new ones are hatching out, I'm just kind of keeping it in check, and I get through several generations without any new eggs.
Right. And hopefully you will have new generations of the ladybugs, or at least you'll get larvae
I'm
in
trying.
There.
Same,
yeah. Try but, to get them at the same time as having the adults. So
yeah.
And another one that eats aphids, it's green lacewings, which I did on an experimental basis, just ordered some green lacewings in. They're not gonna survive in our climate. They need more heat than what we've got. But they might live in my dome for part of the summer,
I hope. Long enough, hopefully, to get your...
To eat a few aphids.
Yeah, get that under control.
And the other thing I just ordered as a result of my my infestation of pests in the dome is I ordered a bunch of the yellow sticky traps, basically, is what you call them. They're basically just pieces of paper that are bright yellow, which attracts insects, especially aphids, flying insects, and then they're really, really sticky. And so when the insect flies into it, it gets them. Now, the downside of this is, besides the pests, you're also getting some of your beneficials.
Right.
Which is not a good thing. You want to keep those beneficials in your...
And that's what I just did with this tomatillo. I do the fly ribbons. I hang those around trying to catch things. And I caught lots of flies, which weren't hurting anything, but it did hurt because I have lots of spiders in my dome. Spiders are beneficial. You want spiders.
As many spiders as you can get.
And I just took their dinner away. And so I feel really bad. But the nice thing about spiders, I know a lot of people don't like spiders, but they're meat eaters. They will eat your other insects in there. And there's never been a vegetarian spider yet. They're not going to touch your plants. Your plants are fine.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
Leave the spiders alone.
Spiders, and also, believe it or not, ants also. I didn't realize that, but ants can also be very predatory on aphids and other things. That's the thing about aphids. I started to do a little research on them, and it's amazing. They're an amazing insect, and they can reproduce so rapidly because they they can reproduce from eggs and they reproduce from non-eggs. It can be sexual or asexual reproduction. And so anyway, their place in our ecosystem is that they provide food for a lot of critters. So yeah, we don't like to have aphids on our plants, but we do like to have the critters around that eat the aphids too. So it is all part of the ecosystem. And as much as I hate the blinking aphids, they have a place.
It's another reason not to spray them is because there are other things that are going to be wanting to eat them, and then you're poisoning them as well.
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful when using any kind of insecticide because you're going to throw the natural balance off. And that's why I go for beneficial insects because I can keep my balance and just get rid of the things that are overpopulating.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot more sense to try to balance that system instead of trying to
change it.
To change it, yeah, that's right. Because we're not very good at that. It doesn't. Well, we are changing the whole system by having a dome or having a greenhouse in the first place. We're changing the system. So that's why we're getting pest infestations. So. Okay, what else about beneficials? I think it is important. Did you say about spraying water that the beneficials?
Oh, for the ladybugs, yes. When you do ladybugs, every time you release them into your greenhouse or whatever your situation is, you want to spray your plants with just fresh water. Because when the ladybugs come out of their dormancy, they'll be dormant when they come out of the refrigerator, they're going to be thirsty. And so you want to give them a good drink of water so they have a long, healthy life to give them lots of time to eat.
Right. Okay, so spray everything with water. And then also you use nematodes, which you also need to keep moist. I guess it's any critter needs to have water.
I've gotten nematodes before. One year I had a horrible outbreak of white flies. And nematodes are little wormy type of thing that live in the ground. You really can't see them without a microscope. And for nematodes, you get them through the mail.
And you got to get the right kind.
There are many different kinds of beneficial nematodes. You have to get the right ones. And the ones I had, you had to put them into water. And so I put them in a watering can, mixed it thoroughly, and then watered my plants with them. And then you have to keep the ground moist for a number of days because the nematodes need moist ground to move through. But they will go through and eat the larva of the white flies. As soon as they start to hatch out, the nematodes will eat them. Mm-hmm. And so they never hatch out.
And they also are supposedly the right ones. It's the SF ones also do the same thing for root maggots, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I am trying to bring nematodes in for that purpose.
But, you know, this is just lovely breakfast conversation.
Isn't it, though?
It is.
Well, you know, nematodes you can't see. They just look like soil. You'd never know that they're there, but they're a pretty important thing. Nematodes is another beneficial way, another beneficial insect way of dealing with pest infestation without using insecticides and spraying it on. And I guess we should touch on root maggots. Root maggots are probably the question that we get the most of anything on.
And that's not domes. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. That's
yes,
one thing.
Yes, this affects everybody.
Yeah. In fact, probably more so outside of the domes.
True.
If you don't have your protection on now, if you were at my place, you probably would have root maggots just because we see them flying around all over the place. The root maggot flies are definitely flying around. And there's various ways to do – putting Remay over helps. I can't seem to keep them out from under the Remay, so I do a double protection of – I actually put little quilt batting around every stem of my brassica plants, and I have been able to keep root maggots at bay that way.
And they only go after the brassicas?
They actually, if it's bad enough, they will go for carrots, a root crop. But they are much more prone to brassicas. And I find that they will leave my kale and my collards alone, but they go for broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. And so all of those I protect by every plant that I put, every plant transplant, I wrap with quilt batting. And I have not had any root maggots since I started doing that.
Wow.
Do you have to redo that after a rain or anything?
No. That stays for the whole summer.
Good.
So I think covering them with Remay is the defense that most people use. Is that what you use,
Kate?
Yeah. And you hope and pray. And if you have a plant that just kind of looks weak and kind of tired, you can suspect root maggots. And if it is the case, when you pull it out, you will see those little white maggots all over the roots of your plants. And get that out of there. Take that dirt, take all of those root maggots out of there, because they'll live in the soil and you will have that problem again next year. So if you do get root maggots, try to get that root ball out of there in some place where they're not going to live in your garden. So, and then I guess we've got a couple minutes only. So slugs, right now, do you use, Sluggo at all?
Kate? I have not been using Sluggo. Okay. I have just been going out. I found in my dome, my lettuce had
slugs already. Yeah. I've found slugs too.
And so I've just been going through and I pick them off. I did try putting beer out there, but apparently they're not a fan of Bud Light. That did not work. And so I'm back to just picking them. Yeah. I've been thinking about picking up Sluggo, but...
And I use Sluggo as a preventative thing. I've already put Sluggo pellets out, and those little ones will start eating it. And then one thing before we go, there is a solution of also, once they start to get on your plants, spray a solution of ammonia and water. And I find it amazing that it doesn't hurt the plants, but it doesn't. And so,
oh, interesting.
Yeah.
There,
okay. The recipe is online, or you can talk to Dick Flagel. He's done it for years successfully. And I have other friends who have done that as well. So if you get a slug infestation, you can look at ammonia water solution and spraying it on your plants.
All right.
We could probably talk about pests for hours. But
One thing I just want to add, though, okay. is if you have pest problems and you're wondering where you get some of these beneficial insects or whatever, Arbico Organics is a catalog, and they are great about explaining every different kind of beneficial insect and what it works for, how to apply it. It's a great catalog. Even if you don't order from them, you'll learn a lot.
Get information, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great source.
Which is great, because it's a little overwhelming when you go online and start looking
for this. It's very overwhelming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, Arbico Organics. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joni.
Happy gardening.
Happy gardening. Keep that dirt in your fingernails.